Amen. And we're going to receive our pastor. Amen. With a hearty praise the Lord. I think we can do a little better than that. Amen. Let's greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for being here this morning. How many of us have breath today?
Amen.
If we have breath, we ought to be able to say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For if we have breath, the activity of our limbs, the use of our mind, we ought to be able to say thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And then everything that has breath, praise the Lord. For if you're breathing today, you ought to have a praise on your lip, a praise in your heart, a song in your heart. Amen. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at what happened yesterday, what's coming tomorrow. This account is an account previous in this chapter, the 8th chapter. Jesus is ministering to a multitude. And the scripture says a great multitude. And he says to his disciples, he said, we need to feed this great multitude. We can't send them away in their present condition. He said, because if we send them away like they are, they'll faint along the way. And disciples look at the great multitude, and they ask God, how can we feed so great a multitude? Now, just as a reference point, God had already performed a great miracle prior to this when he fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. So the Lord is now in another situation. And he's asking them, telling them, we're going to feed the multitude. But it seemed as though the disciples had already forgot what God had done in their lives. They've already forgot the miracles that God had already performed. And I'd like to ask you today, has there been some five loaves and two fish in your life? And now are you in another great hurdle in your life? Or are you in a place of need? Have you forgotten what God had already done? Have you forgotten the miracles that he's already performed? Have you forgotten when man said no, but God said yes? Have you forgotten when they said you had never amount to anything, but look at where you are now? Have you forgotten what God has done? God, we bless your name. Lord, we thank you. When others gave up on us, how many know God never gives up on his people? And for that, we ought to say thank you. Man may count you out. Man may knock you down. But God said, I'm with you. And because I'm with you, you'll never fail. So Jesus is dealing with them concerning a situation. So he feeds the 4,000. And after he feeds them with 7 loaves and a few fish, they had some left over, so they collected 7 baskets full of fragments. And then they entered his ship. Now God had just performed a miracle. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I wonder, has God performed some miracles in some of our lives? And have we forgot what God has already done? Have we forgotten ways that he's already made? So the scripture says, he tells them, we're going to enter into a ship and depart to the other side. And the disciples already forgot what God just did. And this wasn't a damn old miracle. He had just performed this miracle at that time. And as they got into the ship, they reasoned among themselves and they forgot bread. Lord, how do we forget what God has already done? The book of John, the 6th chapter, Jesus tells them, even if you forgot bread, he said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. He said, if any man eat my flesh and drink my blood, they'll have everlasting life. And how many know the people got confused? They didn't understand he was speaking about a spiritual meal, but the people were focusing on a natural meal. I wonder how many of us today came to church looking for answers. And when God sends you the answer, will you receive it spiritually or will you receive it carnally? So he tells them, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And then the Bible says from that point, many of his disciples. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a believer. At that point, many of his disciples turned back. And the Lord, in amazement, looked at the apostles and said, will ye go also? And Peter stood up and said, Lord, where shall we go? Lord, you have the words, So he's now dealing with them, and he asks them in the 21st verse, and he says to them, how is it that ye do not understand? So our message today is all that you've been through, and with all that God has done for you, how is it that you do not understand? Amen. Now, many times when we're dealing with understanding God, we deal with God from a carnal and a natural perspective. We try to view God through the wisdom of man. But Paul tells us, man by wisdom understandeth not God. So this afternoon, when it comes to understanding God, it's not by our wisdom. It's not by our understanding. It's not according to our intellect. But Paul said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we're living in a day and time where people think they can approach God through their intellect. They feel as though they can approach God through wisdom. But we can't approach God any other way than through the Word of God. We have to approach God through His Word. I just want to go back and highlight a few things now. In the 15th verse, now we know that the apostles are reasoning that the Lord is going to rebuke them for forgetting bread. So he tells them in the 15th verse, and he charges them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, they are in a carnal place, but God is in a spiritual place. They are thinking about the things that pertain to this life, and God is talking about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. So then it says in verse 16, they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we forgot bread? But God wasn't dealing with a natural situation. He was dealing with a spiritual situation. This morning, I believe there are many in church, and God has been speaking to them, but they don't understand because they are dealing with a natural or a carnal situation, and the Lord is dealing with a spiritual situation. The Lord is trying to get us into the kingdom of God, and we are trying to approach God through our intellect. So when he asks them, how is it that you do not understand? Now this word for understand is not according to your intellect, it's not according to your condition. When he's talking about understanding, the real word should be how is it that you cannot discern. Amen. Well, when it comes to discernment, discernment comes from God. So the apostles had been around the Lord all this time, and they was trying to intellectually figure out what God was doing. God said, no, you can't understand me through intellect. The only way you can understand me is through faith. Because the scriptures say, he that cometh to God must first believe. I wonder today, has anybody approached God? Has anyone come to God? Well, in approaching God, did you believe? Because if you approach God in doubt, God can't help you. If you approach God in doubt, you'll forget about all the miracles. Lord, I thank you for miracles. You'll forget about all the healings. You'll forget about all the deliverances that God already did. Why? Because you're trying to approach God through your intellect. Well, the Word of God lets us know that our thoughts are not His thoughts, and our ways are not His ways. Please stand for us. The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways to your ways, and my thoughts to your thoughts. So the problem that we have developed in this society and time that we're living in is we think we can outthink God. Look at somebody and tell them, you can't outthink God. Come on, you can't outthink God. So the apostles are dealing with a natural bread. But the Lord is talking about leaven. And leaven has to do with sin. So he said, now beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Because the Pharisees were the religious rulers at that time. And they did everything to be seen by man. All right? And I didn't realize until today that So what Herod did to be accepted as a king of the Jews is he converted to Judaism just so he could become their king. But the problem that the Pharisees had and Herod had is there was no sincerity in what they were doing. They weren't doing it honestly. They were just doing it to be accepted. So God said, listen, I want to help you, but you can't do things to be accepted by man. You can't do things just to please man, but you have to be aware of the leaven. Now we know leaven always points to what? Sin. Leaven always points to false doctrine. Really? So the Lord is warning them, he said, listen, you can't be influenced by sin, and you can't be influenced by false doctrine. Last week, we went over, serving the Lord is always right. Can we say always?
Always.
And we went over Asaph, and on Wednesday night, we went into it a little deeper, the background and the history of Asaph. But even though Asaph was a godly man, even though he was a head choir director, his perspective was twisted. He was looking at God, but he didn't see God through the proper eyes. And he was looking at God, and when he began to see God, he did not see God as the God of our salvation. He did not see him as Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. He did not see him as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide and the Lord will see and God will make a way. But he was trying to see God through the means of man. And God had to let him know, he said, no, you got to come my way. How many know if we want to do right by God, we got to come his way? If you want to do right by God, you can't come my way. You can't come your way. But we got to come God's way. Why? Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So we got a whole generation of Christians today. Amen. Practicing and believing and saying stuff that ain't in the Word. So the Lord tells him, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that you can't figure out what I am saying? Let me go to another scripture just to try to give us a little more insight. Let's go to the 18th verse. Now the Lord is trying to help them see things from a kingdom perspective and not from a worldly perspective. He wanted mankind to see things from his perspective. The discernment is I see it according to God's will and God's way. Intellect is according to my will and my way. So my question today is how are we approaching God? Are we approaching God through our intellect, our will, and our way? Or are we approaching God through discernment? Because discernment says, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I follow you. Amen? Actually, let me go to verse 18. Let's go to verse 18. So the Lord is dealing with his apostles. He just told them, now beware of the leaven of the Herod and the leaven of the Pharisee, because what he was saying is it's all about hypocrisy. There's no sincerity. They are not real. So then he tells them in verse 18, he says, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. So the Lord is dealing with them. So what he does, anyone that's familiar with this scripture, he takes them back to Psalm 35. So now the Lord is dealing with them about, can we say false doctrine? He's dealing with them about following man instead of following God. I just wonder today, how many of us are serving God based on our intellect? Are we serving God by faith? How many of us are serving God by what I read in the Bible and what I thought to be true? Are we serving God by faith? So he said, listen, you are my apostle, but you have eyes, but you see not. You have ears, but you hear not. He said, you don't understand. So when the Lord is speaking, he's not speaking in Greek, he's speaking in Hebrew. Now, when he speaks this to the apostles, their mind should immediately go to Psalms 135. And we'll start in verse 15 of Psalms 135. How do you want to do things God's way?
Amen.
In order for any of us to do anything God's way, we have to move ourselves out of the And then in order for any of us to walk pleasing to God, we have to first deny ourselves. So my question to you as we go to Psalms 135 and verse 15, my question to you is, are you obeying God? Are you living your life just to please yourself? Are you obeying God, and do you understand God? Hallelujah. So Psalm 135, now he just said, having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not. Now Psalm 135 verse 15 says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold and the... So he's dealing with the apostles about not understanding. So he immediately takes them to idols. He takes them to silver and gold. What silver and gold represents today? Money. So he takes them to monetary things. Monetary. And he said, and the works of man's hand. Verse 16 says, they have mouth, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they have ears, but they neither is there any breath in their mouth. They that make them are like them, so is everyone that trusted in them. So the Lord is dealing with the apostles, and he said, you're acting like you're serving an idol. He said, you have an eye, but you see not. You have ears, but you hear not. He said, you are acting like an idol that someone has created with their own hand. He said, how is it that you don't understand that I'm trying to take you to a spiritual place and you're going to a carnal place? How is it that you can't understand that I'm trying to get you delivered for your soul, but you keep going back to your carnal mind, keeping you in bondage? I wonder, does anybody today want to be free? Does anybody today want to be free in their spirit? Do you want to be free in your soul? So the Lord is dealing with him. He said, now listen, I'm not dealing on your level. How many know God's level is not our level? God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our way. So he said, now you're offering things to me that you're offering to idols. He said, now listen, I need to take you back. Do you remember the 5,000 and the 5 loaves and how many I fed? And how many baskets did we take up? They said, we took up 12. He said, now we just fed 4,000 with 7 loaves. How many baskets did we take up? They said, 7. The Lord said, well, don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize the power that I have? And I took 5 loaves and I multiplied them. And even after I fed all your needs, we still had some left over. So when you eat God like you ought to be, you don't have to worry about anything. God's eyes are wide on your needs according And you know what the Lord did when they brought the animal to baptism? He looked at the heaven and blessed it. Lord, thank you. Anybody want you to come to us and bless you? When God blesses you, you're good because watch. When God blesses you, the stuff that you have that you thought was good, you look in the bank and have some stuff left over. Because God is blessing you. Amen. Because I do understand that all of my help comes from the Lord. I understand that without God, I can do nothing. Amen. So he said, that was with the $5. He said, now, do you just remember, right before we got in the boat, I just fed 4,000 with 7 loaves, and we had 7 baskets left over? Amen? And don't want me this way, but one of the following ways that we'll go further than this to try to explain it. But that 12 and 7 has significance, all right? Because 12 represents the kingdom of God, and 7 represents the finished work of God in perfection. So he said, listen, when I do something, it's perfect. He said, when I work on it, it's finished. When I work on it, you don't have to ask questions. It will be complete. But when you try to figure it out according to your own intellect and understanding, he said, you missed it. Does anybody feel like you missed it? I know when you first get saved, you start walking with God. Amen. And when we start walking with God, in the beginning, it's all exciting. Everybody mind, excited when you first got saved. Somebody said, I never knew it could be until it happened to me. Now I can tell you about the joy that I had. Now I can tell you that in sorrow, I can be glad when I first got saved. Well, God has not changed. So what has happened in the interval between you getting saved and where you are now? You still ought to have joy. God should still be the joy of your salvation. God should still be the best thing. But through the course of time, trials and situations have made us lose our focus on God. So instead of focusing on God, we're focusing on everything but God. Amen. We're focusing on the leaven of the Pharisees. We're focusing on the leaven of Herod. We're focusing on all these things that are not in sincerity and in truth. And then we're trying to understand, God, how did I get to this part? He said, don't you understand? In order for you to understand, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Everybody in church today, all they're trying to get their stuff. You know the only stuff I want is for him to say, well done. Thy good and good and what? So God will bless you if you are faithful. Now, make a personal assessment is not for me to discern. The Bible says that every man judge himself. Also let us examine ourselves. Are you faithful to God? I didn't say faithful to church. I didn't say faithful to the praise team. Faithful to your calling. Because those things are easy to be faithful to. But are you faithful to God? When you're faithful to God, if God asks you to do something, I didn't say to man, if God asks you to do something that you don't want to do, you won't tell God no. Are y'all with me? So I wonder today, how many of God is speaking to in the privacy of your own mind? In the privacy of your own devotion? How many has God been speaking to and ordering yourself in a certain direction and you told God, no? But think about that. Has God been leading you in a certain direction and you told God, no? That's the leaven of the Pharisees. And that's the leaven of Herod. That is not sincere. That is not in truth. Amen. If you're going to serve the Lord, you have to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. So my question today is, how is it that you do not understand? God is not trying to lead the church on a carnal path of finances and riches, though we need them. God said, if you please me, I'll make your enemies be at peace. Are you with me? God said, you just do what please me. I'll make your enemies be at peace. A lot of us have been sitting at home. Y'all know I don't like Facebook, right? Y'all know I don't like Facebook? Facebook, you know, Facebook and texting, it's a cow's way out. Yeah, I know. All right, if I don't like Facebook, you want to listen to it. Facebook and texting is a cow's way out. Because you'll say something to somebody on Facebook, but you won't see it in their face. You'll be missing and missing these stuff in Facebook and be like a mouse in person. Because it ain't real. So I don't like something ain't real. Texting, you know. Sometimes we get mad and we want to tell somebody else so bad, but we just put it in a text. Then when they receive a text and call you up on it, somebody sent me a text one time. The text was full of lies. And they told me, don't respond to the text. So I ain't going to respond to my text, but I'm going to call you. Because this text is full of lies. So I tell people when there's something serious, don't text me. Right? Don't ever have to worry about Facebook because I don't have it. Honestly. Facebook and texting is just destroying people. Amen? Honestly. Right? I ain't going to go there too far. I ain't going to go there too far. Present a false persona about who you are. Like, I think Brooks, I was telling about this guy who won $2,000 doing something. I don't know what he's doing. But he presented himself like he was a wealthy millionaire on Facebook. You know, won like $10,000 or $15,000. So he presented himself, this is a true story, he presented himself like he was a wealthy millionaire. So these people say, oh, we need money. So they went to this wealthy millionaire, wanted to get hundreds of thousands of dollars. Then when they confronted him, they said, oh, I was just lying on Facebook. I only got $10,000. They killed him and said, you're lying. Because your Facebook persona said you had millions of dollars. I believe so then they couldn't get him to come, so they went to his wife. She would tell the truth, so they killed her. Because of their Facebook persona. Listen, if you got to say anything to somebody, if you can't say it in person, don't say it at all. If you got to correct somebody, Facebook. My granddaughter gave my wife this plaque. Is it there? I'm not sure. But she gave her a plaque. This is the book I encourage you to go into. Well, Alexis, you're right. This girl's good. The man, the myth, the legend. She gave her a book that said, have you checked into your F-A-I-T-H book today? Facebook. I encourage you, check into your Facebook and get off of that Facebook. Before Facebook got as bad, and I'm not bashing Facebook. I know it has some good, but social media is bad. I am a president tweeting. Get rid of this stuff. Now, he tells these four women, go back to your country where you came from. Y'all know the story?
Yes.
There it is. Have you logged into your
Facebook?
I'm encouraging you, do some Facebook. Turn Facebook off. Right? But social media sinks. If you're not careful, it sucks you in. It draws you in. So instead of you pursuing God, you're pursuing everything else. How is our president? There are some people when he called my name, they just called him 45. I didn't know what that meant. I'm down to all these meetings, they kept saying 45. I said, what in the world is 45? They said, we don't call them by name. That's how bad they did. But how are you going to put in a tweet, go back to your country where you came from, we don't want you here anyway? Social media. So I know Twitters and dinners and all that other stuff is supposed to be all good. But if he's taking you away from God, you need to turn it off. You need to shut it down. We were just at, in Georgia. I'm just going to say it for a minute. Y'all gonna be mad at me anyway, but I just said I don't like Facebook. So we were in Georgia and some of the officials were challenging the saints about Facebook. And they said, why you put yourself on Facebook look all sensual and sexual? And you're married. They said, what are you trying to sell? Say, ouch.
Ouch.
And they said, what are you trying to sell? You're already married. What are you advertising? You know what I mean? Well, I can use it and keep in touch with my family and say with your family some advertising. Right. Amen? Y'all already know, I'm gonna tell you the truth, you know? Because these are the letters. These are the things that are destroying the saints of God. There are more saints that are now divorced because of infidelity, because of Facebook. Saints! Can y'all say saints?
Saints.
You and your sixth. How in the world you on Facebook talk to somebody that you had a sweetheart crush on when you were 13? It's funny, right? But marriages have been destroyed because of childhood sweethearts in elementary school, junior high school. I haven't heard from you in years. I told y'all on LinkedIn, they sent me all that stuff on LinkedIn. I was looking for business. They sent me stuff on LinkedIn, after 2 days I linked out. I linked out. Because we were trying to get to church, they said, this is how you get in touch with all of my classmates that were now millionaires and stuff like that. They said, they'll give you money. I'm talking. I didn't want the money after that. Now, it's supposed to be the business end of whatever LinkedIn is. It's supposed to be the business end. I got a request from a lady that didn't have no clothes on practically. I was trying to shut that thing down before my wife saw it. This is supposed to be business? Honestly, this is supposed to be business and you don't have no clothes on with you? Then when I close it out, it's going to start to take a week. Is using to choke the saints. Now, let me ask you a question. So we got Facebook and we got Facebook. How much time do you spend in Facebook? You, for yourself. How much time do you spend in Facebook? Just answer. I always try to answer for me, for yourself. If you spend more time on any type of social media than you spending time with God, that becomes an idol. Because you put that before God. I don't care if it's your cell phone. If you spend hours and hours on a cell phone, I don't care for whatever reason. If you read your Bible, that's a good thing. But if you're not talking to God, don't you realize that you're being slowly deceived and you don't understand? You're not discerning? That what the devil is doing is taking what could have been used for good and he's using it for evil. And then your life is a lump and falling apart and you can't figure out why. The problem is, you don't understand it. It's all sin. Discernment is about doing God's will God's way. Discernment is about doing God's will God's way. It's not about doing things my way. Now, as you know, I'm always going to give you an explanation for something. Understand is the Hebrew word sackle, S-A-K-A-L, just to help you understand a little bit. It's the Hebrew word sackle. It means to trust God. It's what it means. Listen, it means to trust God. It means to eat out of an open hand. This is what sackle means. It's like eating out of an open hand. It's like a shepherd, when he feeds his sheep, will eat out of an open hand. Why? Because he trusts him. He doesn't have to figure out anything. The sheep, you know, sheep are not the smartest animals, but they do know the shepherd's voice. And the Bible says, the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. I'm afraid the church is following some voices. It is not God's voice. I'm afraid the church is chasing some stuff, but it's not God. And we're trying to figure out what is it you don't understand. Because when you understand God, you trust God. So when God gives you an open hand, we don't question God, we run freely to God. My question today is, how many of us fully trust God that whatever he asks us to do, we'll do it? How many of us trust God enough when God says, listen, that's not good for you, I want you to leave that alone? Or will we hold on to stuff that God is trying to get us to turn away from? My question today is, how do you